Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 119 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with the announcement that Wonder Woman 1984 is going to be moving directly to streaming. And then in tech news, we'll cover some hacking news. A new bill was passed by the Senate for cybersecurity, and a little bit in some space news. There's a lot to get through. Let's get going.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 119. And, first disclaimer is either this is going to be one of the shorter episodes that we've ever done, or we're just going to go completely off script here. One of the two is going to happen.
But it's coin flip at this point. It's coin flip.
Yeah, really, there's a bit of a lull in just volume of news coming pre-Thanksgiving. You know, we're back in that cycle that I think everything is COVID again. All news is COVID or Black Friday sales. One of the two.
When you heard that, I had like that Lego movie song pop into my head, but COVID. Everything is COVID.
There's got to be a good Everything is COVID parody song out there somewhere.
If not, internet, do your job, man. I've done the hard work for you already. Just do your fucking job.
I'm going to be entirely preoccupied this entire episode rewriting lyrics for Everything is COVID. But I guess whatever, speaking of COVID and the impacts, let's just go over the latest in entertainment and theaters. What we get is the inevitable announcement we've been talking about. Wonder Woman was the last mainstay that was holding onto the schedule for theatrical release in 2020. And as predicted, that has changed. Still coming out in 2020, still going to be seen in the theaters, but it's going to be simultaneously released on HBO Max on Christmas Day.
I mean, this is the best compromise, I guess. You know, I was a fan of the 3 week later release, but at least they're letting theaters play it. If you want to make that choice, like I will, I'll go see it at a theater. Go ahead. If you got a nice TV at home and you got an HBO Max subscription, it's going to be free to you to watch. I mean, it's the best thing that they can do to keep the schedules on hand and not totally screw over theaters, you know, give them at least a fighting shot.
Yeah. And here, you know, here's another experiment into this new COVID model of straight to streaming on demand for these blockbuster type movies. You know, the Disney Plus experiment was to create their own premium division of their streaming service and have people pay for it like they did with Mulan.
I don't know how that worked out for them either.
Yeah, I would say they didn't really release the numbers. We don't know whether that was, you know, did that increase their subscription base? Did that pay off for losing what was going to be a movie that was going to make hundreds of millions? Did you at least get a payoff in subscription base in that premium $30 per home purchase? I don't know. Disney didn't really clearly state one way or the other. What we'll see with HBO Max is it's just a part of their streaming service, no additional charge or anything else, as long as it's, so even if you just bought a month of HBO Max just to watch that movie, it's less than it would have cost you to go to the theater with somebody.
Yeah, I will say though, like HBO Max doesn't stream in 4K, so you are sacrificing video quality. I doubt you have a Dolby Atmos system in your house, you know, so like there are still benefits to going to the theater. I will still see this movie in the theater, you know, and I do have a pretty decent entertainment center at my house. I like the experience of sitting in the room, the fresh popcorn, the candy, the giant screen, the rumble shaking chairs. I just enjoy the theater experience. So I'm glad they didn't cut me out, you know, because like Mulan, they didn't even release in theaters. They just said, fuck it, you get to watch it at home.
Yeah, not here, you know, in the States. And yeah, I mean, I am glad that they're providing the option. Whether the theaters are open, in your local area. You know, come Christmas is long away. This is, you know, going to be the longest month coming between Thanksgiving. Oh,
they're
and
already
ever.
taking your turkey holiday away from you, telling you not to have more than four people in your house, and like let them try to take Christmas, boy. Ooh, let them try to take Christmas. I can't wait.
This is going to be just a long month of. No matter what you pay attention to, whether it's politics, whether it's just COVID stuff, like the news cycle is just going to be relentless.
Well, and every year we go through that war on Christmas, right? You can't say Merry Christmas to anybody. You thought that was a war on Christmas. Fuck. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting because, you know, we're out of like flatten the curve. Like this is like flatten the cliff in the sense of like the number of cases. Like if you look at the graphs of how rapid it's expanding now, it far dwarfs what we did in the spring. And we're gonna see what responses everybody has. But you know, as somebody who lives in California in one of the purple tier counties, I mean everything's shut down again and shutting down again.
I saw a meme that had me dying that was just like, if you keep limiting the restrictions on how many people could be in my house, y'all gonna have to come get some of these goddamn kids. I'm pushing max capacity with my offspring as it is. this is gonna get really, really interesting.
It is, but you know, without going too far down the COVID, you know, rabbit hole, I think the writing on the wall is that, yeah, the theaters are still, you know, what were they going to do? Push back Wonder Woman 1984 further? To when? You know what I mean? Like, there is no light at the end of the tunnel yet. There is no projected time frame that this is going to be something that you could put in the theaters and get the
well, and now there's
a
big push
dollars.
To do the same thing with Black Widow, because it's like, you know, we haven't had a Marvel movie in a year. Like this might kill the superhero genre, right? Like we've gone
now.
Yeah, I just read an article that people are saying like we've gone this long without the continuation of any Marvel story arc, any DC story arc. When it comes back, is it going to have the same draw anymore? Or are people just fine with not having that genre in their lives anymore? Because we've had to move on and find other spaces to fill that void.
I think it'll still have the exact same draw. I don't think it's in any way going to impact it. Now, can you imagine if this bullshit happened in between
Endgame and Infinity War.
Infinity War and Endgame. Can you imagine how badly people... Because there's no way Marvel would say like, oh, we're going to not
I would have went to Endgame in full hazmat suit and then walked out mad than a motherfucker. I breathed that recycled ass fucking air in a plastic ball sweaty suit just to watch that fucking travesty of a goddamn conclusion. Same thing with any of the Star Wars. Like we had a bunch of big fucking movies released
that wrapped up that, last year. Yeah, like good on you guys for getting out in 2019 because yeah, like right now there really isn't anything. Like yeah, people are waiting for the next Marvel movie, but it's starting the new phase. And Black Widow is supposed to really not have very much tie in and tie forward. It's not like there is. Everything just kind of hit pause, but not in the middle of a movie. It's almost like, hey, you know, there's a pretty good natural breath to be taken in between Marvel movies right now. And then whatever, DC makes no difference. There's so little continuity.
Yeah, but
nobody
like,
really is looking forward to the storyline.
It's been so long now, and you know, they've been hyping the Snyder Cut for so long. They've been hyping, you know, all these continuations of movies and TV shows for Disney Plus, and they keep pushing them back. It's kind of like, you know, when you start telling a story and somebody kind of just like interrupts you and fucks it up and you're just like, oh, fuck, I don't even want to finish this fucking story anymore. like that's what I feel is going to happen to a lot of these movies and these franchises is people are just be like, oh, fuck it, like, whatever. Yeah, I went to the story, lady stepped on my toe and I said, oh, shit. And blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I do think that the total value of these movies is going to go down, but I think the entire industry is going to go down. I think, you know, there's going to be a long period, and I think like years, where just there's going to be less consumers going and seeking out this entertainment. There's going to be so many people that are going to get spoiled by the gold rush of streaming services and all these things coming out and how much to watch at home and a reluctance to go out. And I think there's going to be, across the entire entertainment industry, a drag down for years. So yes, there's going to be less money to be made, and there's going to be less people who are going to be enthusiastically going and seeing opening night. But in the end, these Marvel movies are still going to top whatever the industry standard is at the time for 2021, 2022, 2023. They are still going to be the top grossing movies.
$5, Tenet beats Wonder Woman.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I mean, because at least when Tenet released, the vast majority of the states had the theaters open, limited capacity, but open, and there was no simultaneous like streaming service option. Wonder Woman, like, within the next month, I think you're going to just see, like, again, strict lockdowns. People are just not going to go. Wonder Woman, this is really shitty timing. And with a streaming option, HBO Max's subscription base is going to increase by a significant amount on Christmas Day.
Well, and like, if you had a brick and mortar store, you know, that survived up until now, this Christmas season, man, Amazon on Christmas shopping to get them, you know, into the black for the year, that, yeah, this Christmas season, I think it's going to be really bad. It's just going to be really bad.
Like, yeah, there's not a lot of good, but hey, 2021.
Here we come. Here we come, guys.
Here we go.
The year of the vaccine that no one's going to take and keep us all shut down still.
All right. Let's move from COVID stuff, which means we've got to get out of our entertainment here. And we could just jump into tech and start in some, I don't know, different hacking talk. There's a couple things that are coming out in cybersecurity and hacking this week. One interesting article that I read that I just wanted to, you know, talk about was these. There's an article about bug bounties and the people who are. I know this article likes a little hyperbole and put the individuals making millions and saving the internet, but you know, people who are you know, whether they're white hat hackers or formed black hat hackers or whatever it happens to be, but individuals that find bugs in other people's systems and then earn bug bounties by reporting it to them. And you know, there's a couple people on this list that have made over $1 million of income just finding flaw after flaw in different people's systems and reporting it to them.
This is kind of cool. Like, we've long assumed that something kind of like this, you know, existed. I mean, for even movies for the last 20 years, there's always been the, like, you know, professional hackers that companies bring in to test their systems. You know, what was that one movie, Sneakers, I think it was?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it was fucking Robert Redford led a team of hackers that tested people's security protocols and stuff like that. And that movie came out, like, man, fucking, yeah, 20 years ago. So we all, you know, we've always kind of assumed stuff was like this, but now I have like this envision of like One Piece, where there's actually like wanted posters with the picture of code on it with a bounty number underneath it for hackers just to go on the dark web and pick up and be like, all right, I'm gonna hunt down this bug. I'm gonna get it, turn it in.
Yeah, it's, you know, the people who they interviewed for this, you know, talk about how they get to feel like a digital Sherlock Holmes. Essentially, they just start probing into somebody's systems, look for errors and bugs that weren't patched or fixed properly, and go in there, they find it, they report it to the company. And, you know, some of them said that, like, they really thought it was just going to be a fluke or just something that wasn't going to work. And then all of a sudden the company sends them $1,000 check and they get addicted to it and they just keep going after these things. And, you know, there's nine total hackers that have made over $1 million in rewards or bug bounties, like 13 that have made over 500 grand, and then almost 200 that have earned over $100,000 in bug bounties. So not a ton of people, but a fair amount of money for some individuals that are really dedicating themselves to
The companies that are paying these bounties, it's worth tenfold, you know, like it's
absolutely
like the amount of money they could lose by someone else finding these exploits and using them nefariously. Like they're, it's money way well spent for these companies.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You cut some nerd who's in college or whatever else, just was, you know, doing a research project first class or whatever else, and finds that you cut him $1,000 check and it saves you, you know, a half a billion dollar settlement in a data breach or whatever that you end up having to pay as a result. Like there's significant money to be lost in data breaches, in being exposed to ransomware and everything else. So yeah, you can cut somebody a couple $1,000 check for finding these bugs or these vulnerabilities, man, that's a big win.
Yeah, look at that. The free market working.
Yeah. So. I just wish I knew anything about hacking. It would just be, an interesting hobby. Just play around. See what you can find.
No, we missed that train.
No, I missed that. But if you are a hacker, like, I guess I'll send your emails for you. I'll go find the right people to get you paid for a small fee. That's all I've got.
We missed that outliers window.
And then, you know, that's one way of making money as a hacker. Another way of making a ton of money as a hacker is apparently just to get hired on as the head of security for Twitter, as a notorious hacker from the 90s who, his hacker name is Mudge. He was just hired on as the head of security for Twitter. And, this is a guy who, he was a hacker, exploited some significant issues in Microsoft back in the 90s, gained some bit of notoriety and fame from there. But he isn't like a black hat hacker who's been in the background destroying the internet or anything. He's been working for the government in security contracts. He worked for DARPA. This guy has been like on the good side of hacking for a really long time. And now he is the head of all like security infrastructure and security for Twitter. And I don't know how much that's worth, but I'm sure dude's getting paid.
You'd have to assume so. Like, you would have to assume that there's a nice check being written to Mudge.
Yeah. And I hope his check is written too much. I hope even just for the sake of just like having one, I'm hoping he gets like his bonus check written out to Mudge or something.
No, I mean, if he's that good of a hacker, you have to assume that this dude's getting paid in some numbered Bitcoin account or some shit. It does surprise me, though, the age of a lot of these hackers. Like, you would assume that they'd be young millennials or even younger, you know, kind of techie kids, but a lot of them seem to be our age. Like,
yeah, I mean, especially when you're looking at like heading these divisions. I mean, these guys they've pretty much seen it all, right? They've been there. Not like the current security infrastructure. It's not something that they just learned in school. Like, no, they were a part of creating it and building it. Like, whatever exists today was done through these guys. That kind of cut their teeth as hackers, as cybersecurity people in the 90s. So it makes sense that these heads are coming from, you know, our age, a little older. I think it's the right move for Twitter to make. Twitter has to like recover. You know, what was it? Just a couple of months ago when there was that Bitcoin scam of sending, you know, people requesting money to be sent to them. And it turned out there were like 17-year-old hackers in high school. It's like, well, whoever was the head of security at that point in time, your job was over. Like the day you read that headline, that the 17 hackers, I hope you put in your resignation, or at least started packing your office up that day. So it was inevitable that a new head of security was coming to Twitter. And it seems like they went after somebody who has as much credibility in the space as anybody. So hey, good that they're putting security first here. And then in one other security-related topic, that is that the Senate passed a bill for the security of IoT devices against various cyber vulnerabilities. The specific bill was the Internet of Things Cybersecurity Improvement Act, which was passed bipartisan, and its whole focus is essentially to put it everything in the hands of NIST, which is a government agency that determines various security protocols and standards. They can set standards, and this now makes it to where Internet of Things devices have to meet certain minimum standards and protocol standards put on by NIST. And I mean, this is just a necessary step. Government regulation had to step into here. We've talked very much about it. I know you've always been skeptical on how vulnerable Internet of Things devices are. I hope this proves that it is vulnerable, because Senate doesn't do anything. Like, the government doesn't take any steps anywhere in the realm of technology that is effective unless it's a significant problem. And here
I think,
they are.
I think this is just legislating people's laziness and stupidity. That's really, like, this is the warning sticker on your snowblower not to use it on your roof because people are dumb.
I've always disagreed with that assessment, that there are, like, actual vulnerabilities built into these things. They are built by just every company is throwing internet capability.
I'm not
going to
deny that there might be some exploits, but every story that we've ran isn't because of an exploit like that. It's because somebody's fucking password got hacked because you don't know how to secure your own shit. Like, we've run a dozen stories like this, and none of them have been like a not my fault, I have two-factor authentication and this and that, and I still got hacked. No. Every story we've ran has been, you know, Nest camera got hacked, Ring camera got hacked. Yeah, well, it's because, like, they hacked their entire password, because you have your same password for everything, and it's not hard, and somebody figured it out and just logged into your shit.
Yeah, I just agree. I wish I had the memory to recall specific examples, but we did cover once before, mostly because I had to prove to you that that there are actual vulnerabilities in these things. And I can't remember the exact
anything with code is going to have a vulnerability. I mean, like, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to say
and
that
the problem
they're
is
asshole
everything
tight.
Is an IoT device these days. Like, everything that you buy has some functionality to connect to the internet, to connect to your smart home, to connect to whatever it happens to be. But a lot of these companies making these things, security is in no way their concern. All they care about is just putting together a functioning device from some, you know, as cheaply as possible. And security standards have not been met across the board. So making a minimum standard, a minimum protocols that have to be followed in order to sell in the United States any internet connected device, this just makes sense. Like, yes, please, President, sign this thing, and let's actually roll out some level of standards for internet devices being sold in the United States.
I mean, but honestly, after the last couple of elections, this doesn't make me feel any better, to tell you the truth. Like, I don't know if this is the group of people we really want in charge of setting standards for internet security.
Like, no, so, I mean, what I like about it is it's a pretty enduring bill, in the sense that the bill itself is not setting the standard. The bill is stating that
there has to be a standard.
That there has to be a standard, and that standard will be set by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So it's all it really is doing is just reclassifying what is an IoT, who falls under this category of IoT, and if they do fall under the category of IoT, then they have to live by the standards set by NIST. And that language will allow NIST, and NIST is actually a pretty reputable group that, you know, I've listened to some other cybersecurity podcasts and cybersecurity talks that, like, they look at NIST as a this is a good step forward. Like, NIST is pretty well supported, pretty well funded, and there are the right tech-centered people there. You know, you never know who's going to get fired in these things that we, you know, we just saw, you know, the head of CISA get fired for really political reasons, even though he was a absolutely great person for the cyber community, for the tech community, as the head of CISA. But
I mean, even Ajit Pai got the axe.
So, yeah, we'll see who's, you know, the heads of these organizations are probably always on the chopping block, but the people within it that are developing these standards, that are actually testing these protocols, I mean, and they are some of the best in the industry. So I have hope for this one. I'm glad to see that this step was taken.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with it. It's premise is good. We'll see how far they take this.
Hopefully we don't. I mean, I guess hopefully it's just transparent and it just moves forward. But I guess we can move on forward to space news here. And what we've got is a little bit of, so I don't know if you remember, it was a while ago. It might have been a year ago. OneWeb, which was...
Yeah, we did a story on OneWeb.
Going to be a competitor, I guess, to Starlink. Had some satellites already up in the low Earth orbit.
I want to say the article said 72 or some shit like that.
Yeah, they went bankrupt, and originally it was Amazon was buying up some of their satellites, some of their infrastructure. And what we got a report this week from Ars Technica was that the actual UK government is bought up parts of OneWeb with the goal of, like, the actual UK government being a part of providing rural government-owned internet, but not just focused like on UK, but providing global internet. So I don't know if this is like a profitable endeavor that the UK government's going after.
The article says that they're not going to focus on the private sector either, that this is mainly going to be used for like businesses and the government. I was thinking that maybe they were buying it up to have a, you know, that the UK was going to spearhead a municipal internet provider.
That was my initial thought too. But then, yeah, it's clearly that it's got a global focus.
You know, because I've talked to a few people that their municipalities have provided internet service, and overwhelmingly people love it, that they're, you know, the village that they live in, you know, some suburb, just says, screw it, we're going to provide the entire town with internet at this cost that's fixed into your taxes. Like, from the people that I've talked to that have access to things like that, the internet's great. They get great service. Like, they love not having to be tethered to a Time Warner or a Comcast or anything like that. So when this article initially released, I thought they were trying to do something like that. It's really still now like unclear what the government's like intentions are by buying this up. Like, and are they just trying to socialize air internet?
Yeah, I really, that's the big gap in information here is, yeah, they bought up some of the satellites, they bought up some of the internet capability, but unless they plan on launching more satellites, I don't know what the end game is. You know, the stated end game is to provide global internet, and specifically with like a rural focus. I don't know, we'll see. But that was absolutely my hope. That's what, when I first picked up on this article or picked up on this headline, I was really hoping for the same thing, that, you know, it was just a developed nation taking a step towards making internet a part of just government provided infrastructure, and municipal or government provided internet. Not the case here, not for now at least. But I don't know. That's our last story here.
We're not getting into robots,
and in this segment, we'll end in robots that, yeah, it's coming for your job, Steve. It's
yeah, like
not yours,
like
specifically.
The headline is a little misleading if you read the article. Like,
so the headline was "Robots Invade the Construction Site," and you know, Steve, being an electrician, it makes you think that, you know, we're automating away construction. Not the case.
Not really.
Although this is a pretty cool robot, and the video that it shows. It's an interesting thing that, yeah, it makes sense. This is something that probably can be automated away, is when we look at drywall.
It's not really at a point where it would you'd ever see it on a job site. You'd ever, like, so yes, it can mud like a tape seam, you know, but there's so much of the job that this robot can't do that it's pointless to have on. It's like if you invented a painting robot and it couldn't open the paint can, it can't pour the paint into the roller pan, it can't pick up the roller, you have to place the roller in its hand, and then it only goes up and down straight, and you have to move it side every time you need to roll a new spot. Like, is it really worth having that fucking robot? No. No. Is it a paint robot? Technically, yeah, I guess it's a fucking paint robot. But if you have to do that much work to get it to do its job, fuck it, man. Humans still. It's still humans.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously the first iterations of them, yeah, will not be convenient. They will not be cost effective. It'll just be cheaper to hire some actual human being to do it. But I think some of this, probably you can get to the technology that's pretty reliable to do this. Like, you know,
I've seen some robots on construction sites.
A 5-gallon bucket of paint that's just spraying a regular square shaped room or whatever else that can. That's probably something you could train a robot to do pretty easily.
I've seen a bricklayer robot that, like, if you have a straight wall, thing's genius. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the minute you get to a corner, you know, Pablo's back on the job. I'm telling you, like, that's just how it's going to go. Like, but if you got 500 feet of straight brick wall, the robot's your man. But there, like, as far it's at a point where it might make some things easier, but what's the cost of these robots is, you know, that's the thing is until you have a price cost analysis, like, it's not going to be worth having on if all you're doing is saving me 3 hours labor, but you're costing me the equivalent to 100 hours labor. Ah, fuck that robot. Like, fuck that robot.
Well, I mean, this thing's already been employed in actual commercial, and that's where I would think that this would be more beneficial, is like commercial buildings where it's just vast, long wall space and it's, you know, these big open areas. And that's where these robots have already been deployed. Of course, in San Francisco, right? That's the tech center hub.
Why wouldn't it be?
So, of course, it was employed at a new terminal being built in the San Francisco International Airport. It was also employed at the Chase Center in San Francisco, in the arena there. So, this bot, which uses LiDAR to scan the wall, the surface of the wall, to determine what areas need to be smooth, and then to pretty much be able to perfectly smooth the surface, and then to apply paint afterwards. Like, these are things that, yeah, the robots should be able to do. You should be able to train it to do. And like you said, yeah, the intricacy areas, like in a house, trying to get into closets and getting around corners, not a good plan. Commercial building, warehouse, yeah, this probably will do the job.
Well, I'm waiting for the first war to kick off between unions and tech. Because
unions have been fighting humans from getting into their areas.
I see inflatable rats on the road all the time, and just a bunch of fat asses sitting in their cars protesting non-union jobs, you know, because some humans trying to feed his family. Well, guess what, man? Guess what? Like, that low-wage human is not your biggest worry anymore, because those big warehouse jobs that these machines will be able to work in, that will, you can see a cost benefit, you know, benefit to, those are all union jobs. Those aren't my jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I go in people's houses. I do, you know, residential things. You know, there's no way you're getting a robot to go in and do anything that I do. But, like, yeah, 100, you know, 500 foot linear walls of brick, 500 foot linear walls of drywall, that's schools, that's warehouses, that's, you know, big building jobs that all the unions get. So yeah. Eventually, I think in the next 3 to 5 years, you're really going to see labor unions fighting big tech hard.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought about that. You know, we always talk about like, oh, when's the robot going to take your job? You know, is your job safe for so long? We talk about, you know, trucking and whatever else, but never thought about it from a union standpoint.
Yeah, the robot war is not going to start from Skynet. It's going to call. It's going to be some robot Jimmy Hoffa and some union exec. Oh, Bob the BA is just gonna vanish one day in a bunch of robot shrugs, like, I don't know. he's just gone. I'm gonna drywall this wall right quick.
Well,
real shit, folks.
Well, and that's a week in news. So, as stated, not a ton going on, especially in the world of entertainment. And let's see if that changes here going in the future. But at this point, hopefully everybody has as enjoyable as a Thanksgiving as 2020 allows.
Yeah, I hope everybody gets their fixins. I know my girlfriend's family already canceled Christmas and Thanksgiving. Like, they're just like, nope, nobody's coming over here. There's new babies in the family. There's elderly family members. So they're just like, yeah, nope, we're not doing it. You can email them Christmas cards.
Yeah, I'm not mad at anybody for making that decision. I think it's everybody should be able to make that decision. But if you choose that, absolutely, that is more often than not, I think at this point in time, probably the prudent course. But
I'm going to throw a turkey in the smoker. You want to come on by, you come on by. I got a feeling there's going to be plenty of turkey
to go in my smoker as well.
There's going to be plenty of turkey meat to go around. I'm trying to see what this smoked turkey be about. And I think after Thursday, then we can officially put up the Christmas lights, man. I've already got half mine set up. Like, I'm almost done. I got just the high stuff to do.
Yeah. I was going to say my lights are going up. They don't get turned down though. Until Thanksgiving. So
my inflatable turkey fan blew up, so my inflatable turkey died last week, so the Christmas inflatables got put out this week just because the turkey died, man. He took a shit. Sorry about it.
All right, well, with all that said, we'd appreciate if you'd take a moment, do the things on the internet of liking, subscribing, sharing, whatever you can to just help us grow. You know what steps to take. If you enjoy these episodes, just ask that you share it with somebody, and let's continue to grow the community.
Yeah, if you're having one of those Thanksgiving conversations and one of these topics come up, tell me you learned it at the Nerd Cantina. Do us a solid.
All right, well, with all that said, thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week, nerds.
See ya.